Hello. Before we get to the episode, I have a favor to ask. Would you rate and review the first 2 years? It only takes a few seconds, and it's one of the best ways for new listeners to help find our show. So open up Apple Podcasts or Spotify, follow us, and leave us a 5-star rating. Thank you. The Office. There is a case to be made that the very popular 2000 sitcom is actually extremely relevant to the modern workplace even now. The Office is kind of a world populated by characters who are exaggerated versions of people we might meet in real life at an actual workplace. Perhaps no character represents this more than Dwight Schrute, my favorite.
How would I describe myself? 3 words. Hardworking, alpha male, jackhammer. Merciless. Insatiable.
Okay, some setup. Dwight is many things, but he's also an obnoxious braggart. And Jim and Pam, two other characters on the show, also known for their intense workplace romance, always roll their eyes at his cringeworthy behavior. It happens in every episode, and I think every workplace there is always someone like Dwight bragging about their achievements in pretty blatant ways. Much to the annoyance of the colleagues around them. And if you think about it, bragging is just a poor version of conveying your accomplishments to A, gain some visibility, and B, build a reputation. Those are things that we all want. It's just that we don't want to look like that while doing it. So it made me wonder, is that a way to communicate your strengths without it sounding like you're tooting your own horn? Charu Sabnavis has been an HR consultant for 30 years and has authored books and published columns about building a personal brand, self-promotion, and she's definitely someone who has a point of view on this. Naveen Madhavan used to be Vice President of Revenue and Operations at InMobi, an advertising technology company. But he started out in the founder's office in the same company and has risen through the ranks. So he is someone who knows what it takes to keep the nose to the grindstone and build a reputation. We'll hear from both of them today. Welcome to the first 2 years. I am Akshay Chandrasekharan, and this is the show where we ask and answer the toughest questions around work every Tuesday. On today's show, how to talk yourself up without turning people off. To be honest, what got me interested in this topic was that I was getting a little tired of people blatantly self-promoting themselves all over on LinkedIn. It just gives me the ick. It always made me wonder, how is this helpful to anyone? There's got to be a better way to do this, right? And I was strongly of the belief that my work should do all the talking and not me. But we have a very confusing relationship with self-promotion at work, I must admit. There are moments where self-promotion is expected. Say a job interview, and the interviewer asks you about your strengths and accomplishments, you can't respond with "I'd prefer not to say." That kind of humility will be counterproductive. Or take the annual activity where we all fill out our self-appraisal forms. Here, you're made to enlist all your accomplishments over the year. Being modest could easily cost you a well-deserved promotion. It's kind of a damned if you do and damned if you don't situation. So like many of us, I just tumble through these activities once a year and forget about it for the rest of the year, in the hope that my work will speak for itself. If you just keep at it, the right people will recognize you and the right opportunities will come your way, right?
Jeffrey Pfeffer, the author of the book, Power, Why Some Have It and Some Don't, has categorically stated in this book that it would be insufficient to presume that your work will speak for itself. Yes, it may not always happen. So people may not promote you, and people have short memories. Yes, so if you're going to promote yourself once a year during appraisal time, people may have forgotten about all the good work that you have done through the year.
That's Charu. And she believes there are some real barriers that people face to being recognized. And that there is no guarantee that putting your head down and doing good work always pays off.
To be entirely honest, I don't think I ever thought about, like, you know, how do I actually record my accomplishments and speak about it? I just hoped and believed that my work would speak for itself. Right? I started off with a limiting belief, or rather my naivety, that my manager will see things for what it is. Right? In many cases, I was quite lucky that I've always had managers who've seen what I've done and given me the credit for it. But I've also seen that there are instances where managers may not see the effort that you're putting into things.
Even the best, most hands-on managers cannot always keep up with all your key contributions. Naveen, who used to be with InMobi, learned this the hard way and through experience. A large chunk of his early years, he was committed to the idea that his work will speak for itself and that alone would be enough. And then he became a manager.
This belief of mine actually changed when I became a manager, because my beliefs that my work will speak for itself was getting reflected back on my team. And those in my team who were actually putting in a lot of effort, they were not always being recognized, or their work was not being seen externally.
It takes more than just performing well at your job to get noticed. Naveen could no longer hold on to that idea as a manager when it started impacting the people in his team. Now, he actively encourages people in his team to speak about their achievements openly so nothing goes unnoticed.
You know, a typical manager, for instance, will manage about, let's say, 4 to 8 people. Yes, so the manager will be aware of some of the big ticket items that you have done, right? But the differentiation may lie in some of the smaller things that you're doing on the ground. Let's say you're working at the client's place, yes? And you've managed a difficult client who was asking you to do something outside of the brief. So you were persuasive, you were able to give an alternative solution, and you managed to handle that client. Now, unless and until you take this story to your manager will never know about it. So how will your manager know that you're able to handle difficult situations, you have persuasive skills, you can come up with alternative solutions?
It's one thing to say that the client said yes, the job is done, but it's more compelling when you tell the story of how you turned a no from a client into a yes. That's the power of effective, tactful communication. And that brings us to the second common reason why people like me don't like self-promotion. Isn't this the manager's job? That your manager, whose calendar is almost always colorfully full, should keenly observe, identify your strengths, and also on top of it, promote your best interests. Unfortunately, even the most well-meaning managers may not be able to fulfill these expectations.
Self-promotion is really about taking your story, taking your achievements, taking your talents to people who can make use of it, who can benefit from it as much as you can. So now when you take the story to your manager has a few additional data points about you, which can be leveraged during appraisal, which can be leveraged when the manager is making decisions about maybe the next project.
So self-promotion is essentially a function of good stakeholder communication. Plain and simple. It's not a good to have, it's a must have. Imagine you were a founder. It would be your responsibility to give the full and clear picture of your company to your investors. You owe them that. What Charu is saying is the exact same thing. It's your responsibility to equip your peers and managers with the right kind of information about you. So self-promotion is more about others on your team than it is about you. Charu defines it as
responsible communication to people who can benefit from the data points that you're offering them. So it is a mutually beneficial communication.
Without this loop, you stand to lose the right opportunities, the right kind of visibility, and sometimes even a well-deserved promotion. Even with all this reframing in my head, I can't help but think that this is all a bit too performative. It'll feel like I'm putting on some kind of a show to be noticed. So, how do you exactly do it in a way that's not corny and self-indulgent? More on that after the break. Have you heard of the term humble bragging? It's one of those things where once you know what it is, you can't help but see it everywhere. It sounds something like this. Gosh, it's so hard being the only person that the CEO trusts. I have no idea how me, of all people, got selected for this big project that'll give me all the name and fame in the workplace. Do you see what I mean? It's giving that first bencher who always says they haven't studied anything but ends up topping the exam. It's like that suffering from success phenomenon. It's basically using complaints or the cloak of humility to promote yourself. And another unsuccessful way in which people promote themselves is boomer asking. Have you heard of this? Though boomers are notorious for doing this a lot, I think this happens across all generations. It's basically asking leading questions to someone so that you get to talk about something that boosts your image. For example, say this person knows you're into fitness and they ask you, hey, how's your fitness journey going? And you say, it's nice, work in progress. And they respond, oh, okay, so I just completed my 10K marathon yesterday. And you just know that the reason they asked this question is to be able to tell you this piece of information. There aren't very many healthy role models who are smooth with self-promotion. Most importantly, who see it as a mutually beneficial communication. That is the primary difference between self-promotion and bragging. Self-promotion is when you're sharing something about yourself which might actually be useful to the people in your team or your manager or whoever you're speaking with. But with bragging, there's nothing to take away for the person listening. There is no incentive really to listen to you. So how do you do this conversationally? Talk about your achievements in a way that people want to listen to you and get to know you better and not low-key moonwalk out of this conversation.
So let me paint a scenario. You happen to be in the lift with a visiting practice head. And the person asks you, hey, what's up? People would say, nothing much, all good. All well. So to my mind, this is a lost opportunity. So the person said, what's up? Now, in a single sentence, you could have shared something of value to that person. Or I'm just walking out of a very successful meeting with a client. Or this month, we have an extremely healthy sales pipeline. So these are just opportunities for which, you know, you need to be abreast of your story and you need to have a few things, a few numbers up your sleeve. When you say something like this, this can trigger further conversation.
I liked how succinct the opening statement was, right? Because I can totally imagine a scenario where someone's asked you what's up and they're walking past you. Right? And in the name of applying this advice, you have just launched into a fully blown story about what's been up. Right? And the person you're talking to might simply not have the time for it.
Observe the body language of the person in terms of whether the person is really looking for an answer or the person is occupied in other ways.
There are ways to self-promote beyond just talking about it.
So I was talking to another person in a global consulting firm. And what she told me is that she had completed a cutting-edge project in Kazakhstan. And when she returned, she thought it through and she just put down the details of this project in terms of what it entailed, what were the challenges, what were her takeaways, and also bearing in mind what others can learn from this project, she put it on the internal website of the company. And then she said that this generated a lot of interest. And people within the organization at her location, at other locations, reached out to her because they wanted to know more about the project. So she got an opportunity to connect with people whom she would, in the normal course of events, would not have connected with. And it gave her a lot of visibility.
Verbalizing your achievements isn't the only way. You can write your story for others to read. This is such a relief for someone who's better at articulating what they think in writing than in spoken words. The key to doing self-promotion well is all about not over-indexing on the self part of it. Then it turns into bragging.
My point is that don't always think about promoting yourself. Sometimes think about promoting others. Because when you promote others, it speaks volumes about you. It tells people that you observe people and you're ready to acknowledge people. It helps you build a connection and your stature actually goes up. So this is what is called reverse promotion.
People think of praise as a zero-sum game, where if you promote someone else, then it's going to take away from your success. But it's actually on the contrary. There is amazing research on how if you promote someone else and talk positively about someone else, then it actually spills over on people's perceptions of you too. And it overall just helps build a positive workplace culture where people appreciate each other. Remember Naveen, who realized the need for self-promotion when he became a manager? He says be sensitive to how all this advice translates across different organizations that might have different norms related to self-promotion.
You have to take the right sense or pulse check of what's a culture that's going on around, right? And I think in the first 3 to 6 months, anyway, trying to go out of your way and promote your work will actually be hurtful.
Even before applying any of this advice, take your time to assess your workplace context and culture.
Both the places where I worked on, where I worked in, it used to be leaders or maybe cross-functional people calling out who was instrumental in making projects successful. So in such a place, you are better off not doing it yourself. You're better off waiting for your work to be called out by somebody else. But there are, of course, enough cultures where you have to be loud because everybody else is loud and shouting at the top of their voice for attention. And then you have to make sure that you at least make a squeak, even if you're not trying to shout. Otherwise, you will definitely be like completely lost in the ocean.
I want to point out one thing before I go. This episode isn't just about self-promotion. It actually only came out because of self-promotion.
So all through my formative years, I struggled with ideas. I struggled with words. And even today when I write a piece, sometimes I suffer from what is called the imposter syndrome because I can't believe that this is my work.
Even after 30 years of working in this field, it is the book that she wrote as an act of self-promotion and in the benefit of others that led me to finding Charu. I contacted her for this episode after reading her book.
Writing is one of the great ways of gaining visibility. And that's the reason why you and I are talking today. If it hadn't been for my book, I would not have been invited to this episode.
Thank you so much for listening. You can write to me with feedback at aksha@the-ken.com. The first 2 years is produced from the newsroom of The Ken, India's first subscribers-only business news platform. This episode was written and hosted by me, Aksha Chandrasekharan, produced by Anushka Mukherjee, and audio engineering by Rajiv Sian. Thank you for tuning in.